Sympathy, a Welcome, by John Berryman. Feel for your bad fall, how I could fail, poor Paul, who had it so good. I can offer you only this world like a knife, yet you'll get to know your mother, and, humorless, as you do look, you will laugh, and all the others will not be fierce to you, and loverhood will swing your soul like a broken bell, deep in a forsaken wood. Poor Paul, whose wild bad father loves you well. A Sympathy, A Welcome, John Berryman. You are listening to Regular Fast and Loose. My name is Nate, and Nev is going to be here pretty soon.
Allie woke up 8 a.m. graduation day. Got into a car, crashed along the way. We arrived late to the wake, stole the urn while they looked away, and drove to the beach cause I knew you'd want it that way. And you were standing on the hood of the car, singing out loud when the sun came up. And I know I wasn't right, but it felt so good. And your mother didn't mind, like I thought she would. And that REM song was playing in my mind. And 3.5 minutes felt like a lifetime. Felt like a lifetime. And you move like water. Drowning you. And I felt so deep once, yeah, till you pulled me through. You would tell me no one is allowed to be so proud. They never reach out when they're giving up. And I know I wasn't right, but it felt so. A lifetime.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford. 91.5 FM, Tough True Form Radio, forgot to say that.
And your dad set his jaw, your ma just smiled and sighed.
And you
but they left soon, and I went to my room, played that disc that you'd given me. And I shut my eyes, swear I could hear the same. We were standing on the hood of your car, singing out loud when the sun came up. And I know I wasn't right, but it's lifetime. And the morning light was breaking, slowly moving across the bed. He gets up without her waking, to the voices in his head. Through the shadows in the hallway, they painted blue. On the inside he is fried, at a loss for what to do, till he opens up his eyes. Is changing. It's never easy letting go. For the first time, you are more as the child before you rose. Anyone that's at the side.
So I feel like I gotta come back on here real quick and just, like, explain myself. First off, I am sorry. I missed the station identification. And, like, you gotta get that. You gotta get the WMFO in Medford 91.5 FM, Test Reform Radio. You gotta get that. And even if I can get the, hey, this is Nate, but maybe it's just like a product of hubris that I was like, you know what? I got that part done. And then I got, and then whatever. Okay. I played a bunch of Phoenix, and then, just then, some better than Ezra. Some two. Two better than Ezra's. Last night was a pretty big football game in my world. It was a playoff Steeler game. And it was kind of an end of an era, like watching maybe the last time. And I gotta tell you what, it was a bummer. And I know there's a lot of sports fans, a lot of just diehard sports fans that listen to this show. Possibly more diehard sports fans than any. Actually, no, there is a sports show on WMFO. I don't know if it's still going on, but it definitely was in 2018. anyway, I was watching that game and I was sad because the Steelers not only lost, but were losing. And we're kind of like just, it just wasn't good. It just wasn't good. It was bad. So I was like, I need to cheer myself up. So I watched the movie Empire Records, which is like a movie that you just, it's, I don't know what it would be like for someone to watch that movie for the first time. So just like anybody out there who's taking that like as just a thing, but it represents such a like piece of time, especially like a piece of time like record stores, which I even too as a child only caught like the just absolute tail end of anyway. So I watched that movie and it's just great. It's nostalgia. It's hilarious. There's all kinds of insane things that are like, how is this even possible? But you know what? You finish it and you just feel good. So there is heavily featured some Better Than Ezra and some Gin Blossoms more than once in that. And there's also, I did find the website, or not the website, I found the playlist for that. Because of course, like, it is also one of those movies that I don't think made any money or anything, but is like huge on like cult following. So it comes up all the time. And I think it's like a instant yes. And even too, like, unfortunately the algorithm is the one that was like, Empire Records, it's on. You can watch it. I was like, oh yeah. Earmarked. I'm watching that instead of this lousy Steelers offense. Anyway, Jin will come, or Nev, the Gin Blossoms also will come on. Nev will come on here. I believe they're on the bus. I'm going to read you this poem called Wild Asters. Maybe I got to do a little isolation here. And this. And here we go. All right. I'm going to come in close. Wild Asters by Bruce Stone. I am here to worship the blue asters along the brook. Not to carry pollen on my legs or rub strutted wings in mindless sucking, but feel with my eyes the loss of you and me, not in the powdered mildew that spreads from leaf to leaf, but in the glorious absence of grief, to see what was not meant to be seen, the clusters, the aggregate, the underlying multiplicity.
Until I hear it from you.
outside looking in. Still we're talking about not stepping around it. Maybe I don't wanna take advice from fools. I'll just figure everything is cool. But still I hear it from you. Oh,
All right, hey, I'm just going to do a quick update on Nev and make myself louder in this quieter. Nev's stuck in a bus somewhere. So anybody in Somerville who might be on Broadway and there's like you just like see an MBTA bus stuck by police, she's on there. There you go. That's it. Oh, man. And I noticed it was a little quiet out there this morning, so this makes sense that they probably noticed it was quiet, and they're like, we need to throw a wrench into these gears and slow everything real down. Because, yeah, I made all my turns, and I know that this is, like, maybe the way that you think about your commute, is that there's, like, three or four, like, real flagged points where you're, like, I make a left turn every day from Grace Episcopalian Church onto High Street, right there, right there, and it's like blind in both directions, so you get to like ease out, and it's great. That's a great turn. And then the other one is anybody who has to deal with the Winthrop Circle, which goes it's Boston Ave. Oh no, Winthrop Ave, intersecting with High Street. There's just like not enough room, and a lot of people treat that circle like it's two lanes. And so you just kind of like have to get in there and you just sort of jam in, and literally every single person on that is waiting in that circle. All five exit points of that circle are waiting for a light to turn green that's probably 200 yards away. And as soon as that light turned green, and specifically as soon as the green arrow lets people turn onto Mystic Valley Parkway, then the traffic circle like clears and everyone figures themselves out, and then it jams back up again with the next iteration. And that, even just saying it, made me think of, I've been reading Gilead by Marilynne Robinson. Hold your applause. And there's a point there where it's about like this small town preacher in Gilead, Ohio. And everyone's always talking about like, every time I mention, every single time, and there cannot be that many people who have read Margaret Atwood books, where they're like, Gilead, that's the name of the country in The Handmaid's Tale that they turned the United States into. Yes, yes it is. It's also the name of just a town in Iowa. And the books are different, even though the books deal with religion in a lot of ways. Small town preacher, and he's writing these letters to his son. And it's like clear that he doesn't have a ton of time to live. And so it's like, it's sort of this retrospective. And it's very cool because it's not from this position of like, I know everything. It's this position of like, I have so much to tell you. I also am sort of coming to terms with my mortality. And also, I don't feel like I know anything. All I can really do is sort of relay these experiences to you and then have you sort of like piece them together into a narrative that makes sense. But there is, of course, as Marilynne Robinson does, where basically this used to happen in high school cross country. I used to run with this person named Trip Rudolph. And he was great. He was like a D1 runner later on in his life. But we would be running as a group. And then all of a sudden, like mid-hill or something. This is in Upper St. Clair, Pennsylvania, near Pittsburgh, my hometown. He would just go, see ya, and he would sprint. And he would be gone. And we would be going at a pretty good clip. And it would always be sort of at the exact moment that your spirit was broken. And just would take off. And this is the same thing. Marilynne Robinson does this too, where you're like, okay, I'm reading this, you know, there's part of the story about cleaning up, like this church has gotten struck by lightning and they're like cleaning up sort of the rubble and everything. And then she's just like, see ya, and just goes off and throws 400 miles an hour at you. And you're like, this is maybe some of the greatest stuff I've ever seen in my life. Just wisdom and insight, and it's incredible. And one of those, very briefly, is just there is a newness to consistency. And as you continue to do things, it's not just sort of this like retread. And so like this is in terms of obviously like traditionalism or things that you do, like habits that you create and stuff like that. They're not just these things that come and go and you do them again and again and again. It's that your creation, there is a newness being created every single time that you sort of repeat the thing that you're doing. So like your morning routine, and maybe you get up and you get a cup of coffee. In my case, I like make myself a cup of tea. There is a newness in that. And every time you do it, it sort of like re-inscribes every other time you've ever done it, right? Like the meaningfulness with which I make myself a cup of tea every morning affects how I understand the meaningfulness of every other cup of tea I've ever made, right? And even mornings like today where I wake up and I'm like drinking tea, I like was transported back to college because also last night I watched Empire Records and I'm like drinking like tea and I'm like, oh, I remember waking up in Sixth Street Apartments and making tea at whenever time and sort of like getting out the door in the morning and like what my life was like then. And again, like imbuing meaning to that experience in light of the experience that I had right now in 2026, like this morning on a Tuesday. So anyway, recommended as a book. I'm in a book club, which when I tell people that, they're like really impressed. It's like not, it's like Hal made this thing and there's like an email list of like 20 people and then maybe like 3 people show up. But I have to finish it by tomorrow. And it's tough because it's such like this beautifully delicate book that you don't want to like rip through it. But then also, this happened to me yesterday, pre-Steeler game and a little bit post-Steeler game, where you're just like, I'll read a couple pages. And then you look up and maybe you only really have read a couple pages, but it's like 37 minutes later. And you're like, I got to go to bed. I got a life. I got to get my kids out of school and get them over to Grace Episcopalian Church so they can be watched as I go out through my day. And I got meetings today. Ooh. So anyway, update on Nev. Let's see here. No update. Update on Medford stuff from Becca. Definitely fan of the Medford specific content. So anyway, I was going to play this at the end, but also I think I'm just going to play it now. I am going on a skiing trip up to Maine this weekend. The annual skiing trip that I do with my boys, Thomas and Phil. We're going to have a really great time. And I always associate this song with skiing. And if you don't know the reference, you can just like look it up and try to figure it out. This will be like a fun little thing that you can do. But enjoy. This is a song that is forever linked with skiing.
If she don't love me, what can I do? Just put on my best pair of shoes, because she said he's the one that drill a charm, honey, that's gone on. I just want to know what's wrong with me.
Swing the Rango jacket, ball slang glow, Bronx is only Django. Snappy, a golfer, stopper, that's where my pops go. That's where my pops went. See, my percentage is a pennant to the planet. Knock it out the ballpark, crank it. I should not tie this tie to a metal lock, let the wings spread. It'll always come back, baby. Come back, shellac, black, baby. A comeback, flat, black paint on the Chevy.
Help me!
to my tone. You ain't catching you a Tony Award when they walk, when you running with a shotty. Why you running from us? Why you messing with us? We ain't got no guns, we just let the bears witness. The grizzly, maybe polar. You ain't ready, you ain't ready, ready, roll up. Pull up a machete, cut the bamboo paper. Let's roll out, baby, loud.
That bridge was completely destroyed. Like, you, impassable. Completely impassable.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Sure.
You don't remember that?
Mm-mm.
There's a Towny Tim article on that. On the closing of the Broadway bridge.
I mean, I guess I wasn't driving at that time, so.
See, we're like, it doesn't matter to me. But you couldn't even walk. Like, if you couldn't walk all the way down. We're talking about, to catch you up to this conversation, on Broadway in Ball Square, towards the end, where Avenue is, and all that other stuff, where the new Green Line, it's new, but it's also, it's like 4 years old.
Yeah.
I'm going to be calling that new, and it's going to be like, I'm going to be like 80.
Yeah, still. But it's still new right now.
So they completely demolished that bridge, and you couldn't go on Broadway from Ball Square to like Trum Field. Mm-hmm. Couldn't do that for a year. And that's why that gas station closed down and became... Do you remember when that gas station closed down and they put a sign up that just said, if you want to park here, call Jerry?
I don't remember that.
That was a highlight. That was a highlight of my life.
That's funny.
That was great. Yeah, you had to go all the way around. There was like that weird detour. Because it was actually a really complicated detour because you're like having to get over the tracks. Okay, Nev.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're back.
I'm back. Woo.
How's it? Okay, how many people have been like, oh my God, you're back?
Nobody.
So I'm going to catch everyone up. I'm going to catch everyone up.
Okay, catch everybody up.
Because this is my story to tell, really.
Yeah, it is.
From my perspective, so Nev got married again to the same person.
To the same person.
Did you take the ring off
and
then put it back on?
Yes.
How long? What was the time period that was off?
I don't know, 30 minutes?
Was that weird, 30 minutes?
No.
I guess you were getting ushered around. But what if someone had come? What if George Clooney had jumped right in there and been like, you know, Nev?
That would have been crazy.
That would have been crazy.
That would have been crazy. Somebody else had jumped up.
Anybody make crazy. A move? Nope. When they were like, you know, there's a 30-minute period here. There's a window
between first and second. That happens to everyone. You're acting like this is a rare thing to happen. Everybody takes their rings off.
Well, but that's...
Even my engagement ring, I had taken it off for the
But that's like, okay, you're engaged and you get married, you know, as you did in your first, as your experience was in your first marriage. But rare is the time that somebody's like, you know, it's like speak now or forever hold your peace.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't necessarily true the first time because that means, you know, that somebody, what do you call the period of time
really
between your first
here.
And second wedding? I'm just saying that if somebody was out in the crowd, some perhaps old Somerville boyfriend was like, man, I missed the opportunity to shoot my shot at the first wedding.
Uh-huh.
There conceivably was a window of time at wedding number two that right before wedding number two that he could have stood up and
they could have objected to our Mexican marriage. Yes,
that's right.
Yeah.
They could have been like,
I want to marry her in Mexico. They could have said that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I could have illegally been married to somebody in the United States
and
Mexico.
That's what I'm talking
which
about.
Which is illegal.
That's fine. Yeah, but love conquers all.
Unfortunately, not in this case. In this case, I would have gotten in trouble.
That would have been great.
So,
that would have been great.
Yeah. As long as you get married in the U.S. first, they don't matter where else you get married.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
I think I knew that. I think I signed. I think when I did my aunt's wedding in Costa Rica,
mm-hmm.
shout out Aunt Janet,
mm-hmm.
And Joel, the person she married, he gets a shout out too. I had to like do everything in the United States and then like Costa Rica, it was like, I just wrote on a napkin like you guys are married now.
Honestly, the Mexican marriage is way more official than the first one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we had to do thumb... We had this whole... We had paper we
I saw
had to
that
sign.
Picture.
We had to put thumbprints on there. Our parents had to sign it. We had to have four witnesses sign it.
Wow.
It was like a whole thing.
Is that like pending you guys like having like assets in that country? That's like a big deal?
I have no idea.
Okay.
It was just a judge. It was like a judge.
Okay.
It was a judge that did it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Like you were before a judge?
Yeah, we went before a judge.
And he was speaking in Spanish to you, and you were like,
oof,
this is going to be tough.
Oof, 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 it's a woman. Oof.
Oh, no.
That was a tough slip
that's
up
a tough,
there.
That's a tough, that's a tough assumption.
Yeah, that was.
You
that
know,
was.
Mexico, Claudia Sheinbaum, we're out here. We're out here as a secretly way more progressive country.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's my bad.
I did all my vows in Spanish.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good on you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Everything in Spanish, yeah.
How's your Spanish now? You're like a month of speaking it. A month
I
of hearing it.
I can get around, you know.
Good.
Yeah.
So your social media obviously went crazy. You and the people you're associated with plastered across the board.
Just my parents, pretty much.
But that's a big deal in our world.
His parents?
Your parents, for some reason, that content is like front and center. For me... And people
well,
I know.
Well, that seems like maybe you just pay attention. Maybe the algorithm is like, you want Tim and Stephanie Hawkins's posts
it
right
sees,
now.
It sees that I make comments on like Tim's posts that he doesn't interact with.
Yeah. So they
and he's
like
this is like a real, you're really lurking on this family.
Yeah.
And we're just going to indulge that because it's social media. We need to indulge negative behavior.
Yeah.
You know?
My dad did his blessing in Spanish.
Oh, nice.
It was great.
That's good. He round two on that because he tried the first time around.
He didn't do it the
first
time,
And then, this is actually...
Yeah. He did
it. He tried to do a blessing in Spanish during the Somerville wedding, gave up on it, did it in English. Not good. Because it was in really... It was good. Your face...
That was so mean.
It was really good in terms of what it was as a blessing. But, like, Tim can throw 100 miles an hour, okay? And so when you, like, write a blessing to be spoken in another language, and then you just do that other language back in English, lost in translation.
Mm.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know if that's what he did.
It came off as, like, I'm really trying to keep this simple because I can't speak this language.
For the first one?
For the first one.
But he was talking in English. Why would he?
Because he didn't want to rewrite like just a new English one. He just had the Spanish one in English.
I don't think that's what he did.
It's a love-hate relationship.
I don't think he ever translated it to Spanish.
Oh.
No, because he had given up on it months before. That was like his idea way back when. And then
he just like couldn't follow. Yeah.
No, and then he just didn't do it. So you just insulted my dad.
What? You think he's listening?
Yeah,
no,
I do.
He's not.
Yeah.
So... Anyway, it's been going crazy. It's the talk of the town, at least my town. Amongst everyone
it's
I talk,
parents.
All the people I talk to are talking about it.
That's
so, like,
not even
everyone
true.
Who
no
works
way.
at our you know conglomerate, and then my wife.
Uh huh.
That's
uh-huh.
it. That's the
that's
con.
It.
That's
got
the
it.
That's my sphere of influence.
Got it. Got it.
So, and then now you're back, and it's like a celebrity is like within our midst, because we're also showing these pictures to our kids and stuff.
Oh yeah, did you show Jenny?
I did.
Does she like it?
Yes. Jenny's like all in on weddings.
Yeah.
Like friggin' all in.
Yeah, and this was actually, it was a really beautiful wedding. My mother-in-law really popped off. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, it's a wedding.
All the colors, did you see like the...
I did. Yeah, I saw
it. It was beautiful.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Did you see the dancing
I
my did dad
see that. That's the thing I showed Jenny, and she was like looking at me like...
We're doing that, right?
The floor has been set. Like, that's it. Like, there is no... Like, it's... That's at the very absolute least, we're talking this.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I... That's... I'm doing that.
Yeah, you know, I choreographed a dance for my dad and I for our first dance.
That's awesome.
For the radio.
And your dad's got two left feet, so even just him just doing it is, like, really fun.
He did
really,
really
good.
Really good. We only started it maybe 2 or 3 weeks before the wedding. Mm. We went over it maybe twice, and then he was just watching videos of, like, me doing it so that he could practice. He did. I was really, really impressed, I gotta say. He popped off. He did a great job. We got a lot of compliments.
How long were they there?
Who?
Your parents.
My parents. They were there for, like, 5-6 days.
Jeez. There you go.
Yeah, so they were there for a decent amount of time.
Okay, Bex
mm-hmm.
said she needs to see the pictures.
All right, Bex. You could text it into our shared group chat, though.
Well, it's because I was... Oh, no, no, oh, it is now. Yeah, it is now. Yeah, chat. See, there it is.
My bad, Bex, my bad. Can I see pictures? Yeah, I'm just going to, like, send a whole bunch of pictures. I also went to Punta Cana, so...
Yeah! I've been there. I went there on a vacation with my family in 2006.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, dude.
Kind of old.
You know, and I'm 1 year older than I was since the last time we spoke.
Yeah, happy late birthday.
Hey, thank you. That was what that was. That was a tee up on.
I know.
I need a late birthday. Congratulations.
True. I mean, I did wish you happy birthday.
You did.
But if you want another one, there it is.
I always do. But this is it. I feel like that's what I'm telling you. Like the start of my year has been really good. I feel like a lot of stuff has been a lot, has become easier for me.
Wow. Okay.
I think it's like one more year of knowing who I am.
Yeah.
And I think some of that weird, like, angstiness, I don't know. It could be a bunch of different things.
Good. Well, I'm happy to hear that.
Thank you.
Yeah. This is big news.
It's big news, especially as someone who's got to, like, deal with me, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That me out here being like, you know what? I think I'm better. I think I'm cured. How's your phone?
Well, I'm sending Bex the pictures.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to ignore you, but
I know.
I did get a specific request.
Okay. I know that you don't listen to the show on the way in. I talked about watching a movie last night that's an amazing nostalgic movie. It's called Empire Records. Have you seen it? I know that you haven't.
No.
A really fun movie about like these kids that work in a record store.
Cute.
It's like a real, and it's like a super nostalgic. Like I watched, I think I saw it. I think it came out in like 2003 or 2004. It has like a really young Renee Zellweger in it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Love her.
And oh no, maybe it was a 90s movie. And it has a couple other like random famous people. But it's like the music is like perfect and the plot, like, it makes no sense and it's nuts. But I started watching that because there was a football game last night that I got too sad watching. And then I was like, I gotta switch over to this movie.
Bummer.
It is a bummer. The Steelers have been eliminated from the playoffs. But that's good because now I can live the rest of my life.
Good.
I am sort of held hostage by that team.
You didn't watch Stranger Things, did you?
I didn't. Did you?
Yeah, for sure.
You got time amongst all the stuff? Wow.
Yeah.
Do you want to give me... I haven't seen this last half of the previous season and also, obviously, all this. And isn't there a whole thing where the people think that there's more of it?
Just ignore that.
That's not true?
It's obviously not true. Okay. That's just, the ending was like not good, so people were like trying to figure out a way to...
What endings are good?
I agree, especially one that's like that. Like, the series was so big, especially early on, and then the kids just get older. What do you expect? They just get older. It happens.
What's the overall impression of the overall final season? You're glad it's done?
I'm glad it's done. I thought it was fun. It was like,
yeah.
I think I got the closure I needed.
Yeah, the discourse gets out of hand.
Yeah.
I feel like people get really crazy and it's just like, it's a show.
For sure. But then they released the behind the scenes, which actually made it a lot worse. The behind the scenes, they thought they were going to be like, look how much work we put into it. But it was kind of the opposite where people were like, wow, you like honestly didn't care, did you?
Wow, also, really?
Also, Bex wants us to tell the story of their keys.
Okay, do we have it?
I think we just have what Bex sent to you.
We've got copy on that. Okay, do you want to do it?
They texted you, not me, that story.
Okay. All right. From Bex.
Okay.
Parked my car a 10-minute walk away from home because parking is bad in my neighborhood. Got to my car and realized I don't have my car keys. At least this song slaps.
That's it. Okay, and then we got a follow-up.
Okay, and on the other chat.
Oh my God, I got to my car right after the lady printed me a ticket.
Oh my God. Dude, City of Philadelphia, you don't need that money, all right? Unless it's for SEPTA, which I know is like a real problem right now. You don't need that money. That's tough. City parking... like in large city parking is like those people are soulless.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
That's one of those where it's like, I don't even care. Atlanta parking was awful. I still have a parking ticket from Atlanta in my car.
Paid?
No.
So you're just letting that interest rack up?
It's not interest. It's okay. I'll tell this whole story. So it's technically a ticket from the Georgia Institute of Technology.
Okay.
I got it the last week I was like in school.
Uh-huh.
And you can get 3 parking tickets before they tow your car. And you only get like holds on graduation I had already graduated. I was working at CCF. I'd already graduated. The only way that they can get you for parking tickets is if you like get held for they'll hold your graduation. That's the only way that they can like sort of enforce this stuff.
Oh.
So anyway, and even in my heart of hearts, I'm like super anxious about it, you know, mm-hmm. where I'm like, I didn't pay it and like the interest is racking up and all this kind of stuff. And then what happened is like 2 years later, the company that like was in charge of it basically got like dissolved. And so like all the slate was wiped clean.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's good for you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not that really anything would have happened, but.
Well, and also just like. Like my credit score wasn't like trashed or anything.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I was like that's probably the most punk rock thing I've ever done is like not pay this parking ticket.
I see.
To the man.
Good for you.
To George P. Purdell.
Good for you.
I did. And to Bex, I'm really sorry.
Oh. Bex said that they're calling in, but
yeah, we can't do that.
Sorry, Bex.
We're in the small closet and there's like no phones in here.
And it's indefinite.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I gotta read a PSA real quick.
Let me do it.
Let me do it.
Let me. Okay. Somerville may be New England's most densely populated city. Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
But
the spectacular open outdoor public parks, paths, and recreation areas along the Mystic River are close by to every resident of Somerville and Medford. From the Tufts campus, it's just a 4-block walk west to get to a trail along the Mystic River Reservation. The most dangerous part is crossing Route 16, so be careful out there. You can walk, run, jog, bike, play tennis, and picnic, or bring your own gear to have fun in the grassy fields. The Tufts Bacow Sailing Pavilion
Larry Bacow.
Is a beautiful 2.5-mile trek, mostly along the Mystic River, and a little less than a mile further up. The Shannon Beach on the upper Mystic Lake provides plenty of sand, pine trees, and seasonal swimming. Experience nature with all sorts of her gorgeous trees, grass, geese, ducks, hawks, rabbits, chipmunks, plus even turtles and eagles.
Yes.
Improve your physical and mental health. Oh, that's it. Improve your physical and mental health. It's all free for you to enjoy every single day of the year along the nearby Mystic River Reservation. A public service message from WMFO in Medford Tufts, non-commercial community radio.
Hey, read this poem.
Out loud online?
Yeah, online.
John Berryman. A sympathy, a welcome. Feel for your bad fall. How could I fail? Poor Paul, who had it so good. I can offer you only this world like a knife, yet you'll get to know your mother, and humorless as you do look, you will laugh, and all the others will not be fierce to you, and loverhood will swing your soul like a broken bell deep in a forsaken wood. Poor Paul, whose wild bad father loves you well.
Thanks. You're pretty good at reading. I'm telling you, no,
I learned when I was five.
But I'm not. Like when we do stuff and we have to read, I'm tripping over my words. And I feel like you can get it. Not all the time.
Not all the time. And I think that's mostly because my dad, when I was little, paid me to read things to him till he fell asleep.
What?
Well, not paid me. He would give me like 25 cents, you know, but he would be like, hey, come read to me while I go take a nap. And then I'd read to him until he fell asleep.
So he's like laying on the couch. And you're like
in his bed. Wow. I would just come into his room and I would just read him a book until he fell asleep. But it's usually just whatever book I was reading.
I'm going to start. That, to me, from the father's perspective, that seems like, because the classic thing is to be like, all right, kids, I'm trying to take a nap. And then, of course, that's exactly when they're like, I need you. I'm getting the big scissors out of the cup.
Right.
And I'm going
to
like get up to stuff.
I need to give myself a haircut.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, that's. And I can imagine that that's maybe like just a genius way of being like, I need you to, like, get on board with this nap
yeah.
that I'm about to take.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it always worked. We'd get, like, 2 minutes in, and he'd be snoring.
I'm telling you, I'm going to tell Jenny this.
She would love
to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, can
nice.
You read me this book, and I'll fall asleep?
Yeah.
That's great. That's
yeah.
absolutely great.
And then I would just sneak out of the room once he was asleep, little tiptoe out of the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. I enjoyed it.
That's fantastic.
So anyways, I think that's why I got a lot of practice, was my dad always, and he naps,
really
like,
good.
All the time.
Oh, I'm a napper. 100%.
I just want to clarify, Bex, we can't let you in. There's literally no...
It's not a choice.
Yeah, we're not choosing.
There's
to
like
lock
not
you
a
out.
Phone in here.
There's no phone. We just like can't. We just. Our hands are tied, man. Sorry.
Our hands are tied, man.
So anyway, I just wanted to clarify.
That's good.
We move
yeah, Bex,
forward.
This isn't a choice. Bex, there's nothing more than I would. There was nothing I would love more than you to like come on here.
No, literally.
And like add you to this mix.
Maybe before spring break, you should just, like, come up here for, like... Oh, wait, no, that doesn't work, because that's not a Tuesday. I was going to say. You should come up here for, like, 2 weeks.
Just come up here for 2 weeks and just, like, and just hit it hard 2 weeks.
And then we'll go on spring break.
That would be great.
Oh, okay.
We are going to... I am going to text you, Bex, if you want to drive here and then when we fly to spring break.
Yeah, we'll figure that out off air.
We'll figure that out.
Maybe off air.
I'm just priming. I'm priming that.
On radio. Good.
As you know, Fast and Loose is a show for one person. You know, we had it's all about the audience of one.
True.
And that one person is Bex.
True.
although I did get a little bit, I posted a video over Christmas of me like jamming out in here. It was like before Christmas. I was like
I saw
playing
it.
A Christmas show. A lot of people were like, I listened to your show.
That's awesome.
And I was like,
wow.
I doubt it, you know? I think you, yeah, so anyway.
Well, good. That's good to hear.
It's really, yeah. And then last week, I feel like the show was great because it was my first time back.
Nice.
And I got to be welcomed back. I was in Florida, and everyone was... One of my New Year's resolutions is I'm going to ask people more questions. Because when I was in Florida, I was getting a sandwich from Publix, and a guy, the kid checking me out, was like, hey, do you live here and stuff? And instead of getting mad, which is what normally would happen in a transactional scenario like that, where it's like you're holding up the line, why are we coming up the works with these questions? You know, because he's like just literally like he, as soon as he's done with me, he's like going to move on to the next sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a person waiting.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, you know, I want to be nice.
Nice.
And I was like, this is great. I answered his questions, but then I didn't ask any questions myself of like, you know, and then I'm like, you know what? It feels really good to be like.
Yeah, you should ask. Do you live here?
Exactly. Do you live here?
Yeah.
And he's like, he was like, that's a really nice sweater. And I'm like, thank
you. That's
nice. And I was like, and he's like, where do you even get something like that?
Did you tip him?
It's not really. You can't tip.
You can tip anybody at any point. Did you know?
So I'm gonna just go and say, and you can't tip it. The Publix, like sandwich situation, because you what happens is they don't check you out.
No,
like,
no,
you
no. But yeah, you can't.
Oh, if I was carrying cash, I could have taken. That's true. I could have taken the cash I don't carry. Do you have cash?
I do.
What?
Actually, I actually
what are you doing with cash?
Don't ask me questions.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That is an invasive question. Where
so
do I get
do
my
you
cash?
Not no where ask. Do you get cash? What are you doing with cash?
What am I doing with cash?
Because cash is usually like a. Oh, I got this cash on. Like, it's not like I didn't intend to have this, but it's in my life now.
That's true. I didn't pull it out.
That's right.
I was given cash.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
But it was really helpful in places. When you're like traveling abroad, cash is really helpful.
Cash is king.
Cash king.
Because you're like coming out of the cab and you're like, you're putting a little.
Exactly.
Putting
like,
a little money in the guy's hand. There.
Yeah. For sure.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
that's classy. I don't.
That's classy. Yeah.
That's a real.
I felt classy.
I feel like that's like having a billfold.
Yeah,
especially sort
yeah.
of like accessible, not just like loose in your stupid pocket,
no, yeah, exactly.
but like in your jacket.
Where you can like flip it. Flip.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's not like crumpled up.
No, it's exactly.
With other stuff.
I know.
There's like a paperclip and a hair tie in here too.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's tough. I know. I don't want to do that. But like, yeah, the like, or.
Hey,
or,
thanks. And
yeah.
with between the two
yeah,
fingers.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
or
it,
like
yeah.
the hand, you know what I mean? Like the handshake.
I always try to do that.
And nobody catches
and
on.
And it's not like, that's so stupid.
I've been trying to give people cash all the time, giving them handshakes. That's
but even,
you.
But when you, like, when you do that, it also somehow, like, my hand gets really sweaty because, like, you're nervous about
well,
the
yeah,
hand
Well, yeah, but
off.
I think maybe that's why the cash sticks to your hand? Is it just because it's just sweaty?
But then it involves like a real intimate hand slide slime that slide. Just is like,
yeah.
And then he or she or they have to, I'm really sorry, have to then like dig their nails into the palm of your hand to like scrape the cash out of there. As opposed to, but I feel like if it's between your two fingers like this, like a cigarette, then that's not good either, because then that's very, that seems like you're like, oh, here, I don't even like, want this. Exactly.
You're below
like you're throwing
me.
It, yeah, yeah. Like you're throwing bread to a pigeon.
Yeah, so maybe just the handing is the best choice.
Like treating them like a person, I think maybe is the best. A person who's doing their job that you want to appreciate. Maybe that's it.
Maybe that's the one, yeah. Yeah, you could also make it into origami and then just like...
It's happened to me once or twice.
I would love to do that.
And then I'm like, what am I going to do with this?
Use it.
Like unfold it? Like destroy that wonderful piece of art and then use it to like pay for my parking?
Yeah.
Like use it in the worst and demeaning way possible?
Or you could just hand the origami over to somebody else. You know
what
Bex, I mean?
Like if you had maybe had an origami thing, maybe the person would have just kept... They would be like, you know what? Beauty does exist.
You could have turned the ticket into origami
ticket.
And handed it back to them.
Counter move.
I don't know if that might work. Both
I
do.
Every single time I've ever talked to the parking person who comes down Loudon, they've been so mad.
Yeah, they're. I can imagine they're always mad.
They start hot, and
of
it just
course.
Gets worse from there.
They have to hype themselves up to go, you know?
It's anytime.
They have to convince themselves everybody else is the enemy.
I've asked them... Hey, can I park? Because there's a fire hydrant at the front of
it. And they're always like, no.
And they're always like, no one should park here, but the people who do, it's like, okay. And you're like, that doesn't answer my question.
Answer.
They're like, you have to be like 3.5 feet away from it. So if you partially block the driveway, then you're fine. But anyway.
I fear it wouldn't have worked. Oh.
I know.
That's what you say when you haven't tried.
It's because also... I don't think we as a society communicate and value beauty in a way that it could be sort of like you do something, if you like folded it back and you handed the ticket back to the person in origami form, I think that a person sort of more in tune to the beauty of this world would be more taken aback and willing to like let you slide.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we have systematically eliminated a lot of beauty in this world.
Mm.
And so beauty becomes repulsive. You know, and it just sort of falls by it continues to sort of fall back into the grayscale of what would otherwise be our bus stopped on the Broadway bridge.
Yeah. Wow, what a way to end the show.
I've been reading this Marilyn Robinson book and it just makes me like it makes you like really are just like, you know what, I am gonna start sprinting during this conversation for no reason.
Wait, actually really, really fast, I know we have to end this, but I also just read a book
while
I was gone called Alchemized.
Okay.
And it was originally written as a Harry Potter fan fiction.
Big time.
That then got published. All the names have been changed. There's a lot of characters are a little different, but everything was changed. But it's told from the perspective that Voldemort won.
Yes.
At the end. Mm-hmm.
Big time Voldemort fan here. It's House Slytherin, Nate.
And it's a
we're in a green right now.
It's a Hermione Malfoy fanfic.
That's what I'm talking about.
And it's really good.
Well, I'm not gonna spoilers.
No spoilers.
Okay. Hermione Malfoy.
So
yes.
It's pretty crazy. I would definitely recommend it. It's called Alchemized. Go get it.
I can see you lounging.
Oh, I was
like amidst sort of wedding reverie, mm-hmm. and you're like, I'm just friggin'